So lately, there has been a global shift that's kind of hard to ignore. Liberal democracy, once seen as the end goal, is starting to feel a little bit shaky. People around the world are frustrated, politicians seem out of touch, governments feel unstable, and even elected leaders are acting more autocratic. And that has led to a big, uncomfortable question. Is democracy actually working? In many places, the backlash has taken the shape of far-right nationalism, especially across Europe and the Americas. But in some countries, the conversation is heading somewhere unexpected. Instead of looking forward, people are looking back, like way back, to monarchies. Yep, real kings and queens. One surprising example, Nepal. After centuries of monarchy, the Himalayan Kingdom became a republic in 2008. But now, there is a growing movement, especially among the youth, asking, should we bring the king back? Alright, so let's go back in time for a moment. Picture this, you're standing in the heart of the Kathmandu Valley. The air smells of incense, the temples are old, carved with stories in wood and stone. And towering above it all, figuratively and literally, is the king. For centuries, Nepal was a kingdom. The Shah dynasty began ruling over the Himalayan kingdom during the mid-1700s, and the king wasn't just a ruler, he was sacred. People didn't just respect him, they worshipped him. They believed he was a living incarnation of Lord Vishnu, the Hindu protector god. You would see his face on calendars in people's homes, photos in shops, and crowds bowing when he passed. The monarchy was the heart of the country, politically, culturally, and spiritually. But slowly, things began to shift. Fast forward to 1990s, mass protests erupt across Nepal. People are demanding democracy, sick of having no voice, no say. Under pressure, the king agrees, well, kind of. Nepal becomes a constitutional monarchy. The king is still there, but there is a parliament, there are elections, and a bit more space for people to be heard. But just a few years later, everything unravels. A civil war breaks out. Maoist rebels, mostly from rural, underserved areas, take up arms against the state. They argue the system still favors elites and ignores the poor. What follows is a brutal decade-long conflict. Thousands die, villages are torn apart, and progress stalls. And just when things seem they couldn't get worse, something unthinkable happens. In 2001, nearly the entire royal family was massacred in one night inside the royal palace. To this day, no one really knows what happened. A family dispute? A conspiracy? The mystery still haunts Nepal. What's certain is this, the monarchy never fully recovered. Grief, confusion, and growing resentment follow. By 2006, after another wave of protests, the last king, Gyanendra, was pushed out. 2 years later, Nepal officially became a republic. No more kings, no more crowns. Just a young democracy, fragile and hopeful, trying to find its way. Confused, right? I mean, why would a country that fought for democracy start dreaming about going back to a monarchy? Well, imagine you're just an ordinary citizen in Nepal. You wake up every day to power cuts, the roads are bumpy, full of potholes. Politicians argue endlessly, but nothing seems to change. There is corruption at every level, from local offices all the way up to the top. And you have your prime ministers change every 1.5 years. Government services, slow. Jobs, scarce. And every elections feel like a promise that gets broken right after the votes are counted. So you start to think, is this what we waited for? Is this democracy? And in that frustration, you start to look back. Maybe your parents or grandparents talk about old days when there was order, national identity, and pride. It wasn't perfect, but it wasn't this chaotic either. And that's the feeling many Nepalese are sitting with today. And it's been growing. One of the key voices leading this pro-monarchy wave is Durga Prasad. He's a businessman turned political figure who has gained a lot of attention for organizing big rallies across the country. He's vocal, dramatic, and he knows how to tap into that frustration. For some, he is a hero. For others, he is a populist playing on people's pain. And lately, people like Prasai have mobilized violent rallies with thousands of people waving the old national flag, the one with the crown. Streets are covered in posters saying, "Bring the king back." And in the middle of it all, a political party has resurfaced to legitimize the movement, the Rashtriya Prajatantra Party. It is one of the few parties openly calling back for the return of the monarchy and a Hindu state. In some cases, things have turned violent, and clashes with police, tear gas, and even reports of injuries and deaths have been found. Tensions are real, and they are rising. So, why now? Well, there are a few reasons. First, deep disappointment with democracy. Corruption, unemployment, and economic stagnation are rising, and folks are just tired. Second, nostalgia. Many remember or imagine the monarchy years as more peaceful and united. Whether or not that's actually true, that's a bigger question. But when people are struggling, memories can be far sweeter than they actually were. Emotions are powerful. And third, cultural identity. The king wasn't just a leader, he was a symbol of Nepalese tradition, soul, and pride. Without him, some feel that a piece of nation's soul is missing. And here's what's really surprising, a lot of the royalists today are young, like under 30. They have never even lived under a king, but they have grown up in a democracy that kind of feels broken, and they're wondering if the old ways might offer something better or at least different. Back into the real world, does this mean that Nepal is going back to being a monarchy anytime soon? Well, likely not. The constitution would need to change, and that's a huge process. But the fact that this conversation is even happening, that says a lot. It also shows that democracy is just not about elections, it's about delivering promises. And what is happening shows that people are looking for something to believe in again. But thanks for listening, and I'll catch up with you next time with another story that makes us think again. And hey, if you enjoyed this episode, then share it with a friend and let's keep the conversation going. If you're curious to learn more, check out the Record Nepal Palki Sharma Padhyay's reporting on First Post, or a dive into scholarly work like Lokraj Baral's analysis on Nepal's political transitions. Thank you.